Welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. Okay, today we are talking about mindset. And I think the first thing that we need to talk about is, what is mindset? Mindset is essentially is your attitude, how you think about yourself, about life, about the circumstances around you. And so you might distill that down to a glass half full or a glass half empty sort of person. Because when we talk about mindset, we're usually looking at one of two types of mindsets. One is what we call a fixed mindset, and the other is a growth mindset. You probably know which one is going to be the optimal one, right? But let's talk about what a fixed growth mindset is. In a fixed growth mindset, that's really the glass is always half empty. This is a person who shies away from challenges, doesn't want to take risk, is afraid of failure, might stop herself before she gets started, distracts herself, talks her out of things, and has a sense of real vulnerability about how they appear in front of others. So they really do care about what others think of them, sometimes to their detriment, right? I mean, if you're really worried about what people think about you, you are much less likely to talk about something that went wrong, talk about something personal that feels like it may expose you. So you're going to have a sense, a little bit of disconnect sometimes with other people and feel like perhaps people don't really know you. And that would probably be true because you're probably not expressing all that you have to express. People with a fixed mindset also, they just don't deal very well with setbacks. No, we all have times where we don't deal well with a setback, right? We have those times where it feels like that setback is too big, it's overwhelming us, and it makes us feel really crappy. This isn't that. This is a consistent inability to deal with a setback. So you arrive at the airport, and even though you checked, your plane has now been delayed for a couple of hours, and it feels like such a big deal. Or the book that you want has been checked out of the library again, feels like a big deal over and over again. So a fixed mindset is really coming from a place of scarcity, like the world just doesn't have enough. And so I have to make sure I get mine, and I have to make sure that I hide mine too. When we talk about moving more into a growth mindset, we're talking about people who can welcome challenges. You know, so that same, a different person may arrive at the airport having called, discover their plane is going to be 2 hours late, and may see it as a great opportunity just to get some reading in. Or they may see it as a great opportunity to catch up on some email. You know, so they see it more as an opportunity and don't focus on the idea that it's a setback. It doesn't mean that you may not be irritated. It's just that you choose to not remain in the irritation. And so that's one of the biggest differences that I see around mindset when I'm working with people is, yeah, we all have setbacks. The question is, what do you do with it? Now, when we're dealing with things, emotions that we usually call negative, right? We're dealing with anger, some sort of frustration. We're dealing with maybe some sadness or whatever the emotion is. You know, a lot of times people don't want to feel those things. And I get it. I don't want to walk around feeling all my pain all the time either. The question is, can you acknowledge it and then move on? The moving on part, that's the choice. And with a growth mindset, that's the choice you want to be making. Because we're always growing, and yes, we have setbacks, but you want to acknowledge that for yourself. You want to acknowledge your disappointment or your anger, your frustration, and then choose to move on. That piece right there, I think, is one of the biggest pieces that people have trouble with. They want to stuff their feelings down, and then move on. The trouble is when we stuff our feelings down, you know what happens? They always come back up, always. They slip out sideways. They come out of your feet. They come out of your mouth unexpectedly. And it's really difficult that way. So acknowledge the feelings. We want to transition from being in a place where setbacks, mistakes, failures, whatever it is, becomes an opportunity for you to learn. And again, the biggest difference I find with people here is choosing to be stuck. Now, some of you may just be like, I didn't choose to be stuck. I didn't choose my circumstances. Right, you didn't. That may be true. I don't know. But it's how you choose to respond. Now, that's the hardest piece for people because that's really where we have to take ownership. Now, you've probably heard me talk about the amygdala before because it's one of my favorite little things in our head. Your amygdala, it's about the size of an almond. It has one job, and that job is to tell you what to be afraid of. That's the only thing it does. So it has a really important job. The problem is most of our amygdalas have gotten too good at their jobs because let's face it, there's a lot to be afraid of these days. And so everywhere you turn, your amygdala may be saying, no, no, shut down. Don't do that. Don't move towards that. Don't do that. Danger, danger. Well, that's all fine and good. But if you stay focused on the fear part of this, then you cannot work with a growth mindset. So what does this have to do with growth and fix? I'll tell you. In working towards a growth mindset, remember what I just said about acknowledging your feelings? You have to acknowledge the fear too. So you might be thinking you have a project that you want to start. Maybe you want to start a nonprofit. Maybe you really want to become an entrepreneur. Maybe you want to do fill in the blank. But something gets in the way and you don't get started. You think about it. You put off a date. You push your deadline out. Those are signs of fear. And when we don't acknowledge our fear, we keep playing it out. Okay, so an analogy for that might be, you've got something on the stove, it begins to boil. Well, your amygdala is gonna tell you, don't go near the boiling pot, you could hurt yourself. Well, it's true, you could hurt yourself. Unless what? Unless you're careful. So you go with your pot holders and you manage to turn the flame down perhaps, or remove the boiling pot. See, so you have sort of done exactly what we all do. You see it, you acknowledge it, and then you take action anyhow. You're not just going to let the pot keep boiling over until everything evaporates and the pot turns black. You're not going to do that. Why? Because you know that you can take action. You can take action on your projects in the same fashion. You acknowledge that there is a fear. I'm scared to death I'm going to fail. I'm scared to death I'm going to be rejected. I'm scared I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it anyhow. Learning has a big part of a growth mindset because again, you're trying something new, perhaps. When we try something new, we're not good at it at the beginning. I mean, when a baby moves from crawling to walking, he falls down a lot, right? Over and over again. Now, if some of you spoke to that baby the way that you talk to yourself, this is what it would sound like. Oh my God, you fell down again. God, you can't do anything right. Oh my God, you have been working on this for how long and you still can't walk? Doesn't sound very nice, does it? Because when we see a baby learning to walk, we know he's new to it. We know he's going to fall down a lot of times. And we know that if he keeps working at it, he will learn. That's the same process for all of us when we are starting new ventures or going back to something working on something, even something like a growth mindset, it takes time. It takes time and it takes dedication and it takes practice. Those are the only ways to develop more of a growth mindset. So in this growth mindset, we really have to look to failure as opportunity. It's an opportunity to learn, what can I do differently next time? And here's another thing that I want you to really keep in mind, your language around this. I think a good example, since I'm living in France and I've had to learn French all over again, you know, I used to be fluent, and then you don't speak that language and you start forgetting it bit by bit by bit. So when I moved here, I had to sort of relearn it all over again. I could depend on some phrases coming back, but a lot of the times I would catch myself thinking, I'm never going to be fluent again. That wasn't helpful, because then all I was highlighting were my mistakes. When I changed that to, I'm not fluent yet, but I can learn, things changed. It's all up here. It's all how we talk to ourselves, and it's all what we believe, what we can do. Now, we can set goals for ourselves. The question is, A, do I believe that I can achieve that goal? And B, am I willing to take action on it? So let's say I have a goal. What's an easy goal? Okay, so this week I need to write an article. And I'm going to write this article on loneliness. So I've been doing some research around, I'm talking to people and doing some reading on this. That's all well and good. But what's my next step have to be? I have to sit down and start writing. I can fall prey to the, oh God, what if it's not very good? What if nobody wants to read about loneliness? What if nobody likes it? Okay, so you can see where this goes, right? You all have these thoughts too. What if nobody likes it? Okay, there's that side. But let's look at the other side. What if people like it? What if people want more engagement around it? What if people want to talk to me about it? So when you go into that place of fear, you can acknowledge it. Yeah, I'm scared that nobody's going to like this. And you can look at the other side. What if people do like it? So when you're stopping yourself in some area, acknowledge what's going on there. Acknowledge that there's a fear that's just popped up. And let's look at the other side. Come up with the other side for yourself. That helps tremendously. Excuse me. Okay, so growth mindset, welcome challenges, is able to learn from the people around them. They understand in order to get what they want, they have to put themselves out there. They have to be okay with making mistakes. And as you go along, you learn to be more and more okay. The reality is, if you've made a mistake, you tried. You put yourself out there. Perfectionists, they don't make a lot of mistakes because they don't take a lot of action. Think about that. There's no beauty in being a perfectionist. A lot of times when I work with a perfectionist, they miss deadlines, they put things off until it becomes a crisis, or they never get themselves out into the world because they've gotten so focused on this idea of I have to look, see, be, do a particular way. And that's a shame. So if that's you, if you've had perfectionistic tendencies, I want you to start acknowledging the fear that comes up with putting out a project that may not be good enough, responding to a deadline with shoddy work. Whatever your fears are, I want you to start dealing with the fear, acknowledge the fear, and then take action. And just remember, I don't have it perfect yet. That's not the best phrasing, but if you're a perfectionist, I'll take it. Okay, so let's talk about, I want to give you some ways here to help you develop a growth mindset. Now, before I go there, first I want to talk about this thing called reality. you know, sometimes I'll get somebody on the phone, I'll say, how was your week? What happened? And they're like, oh my God, I didn't have any time to do. Let's say I gave them three goals, three things to work on. I didn't have any time. I'm like, really? Let's talk about this. Oh, did you have time to watch TV? Did you have time to go into Facebook? Did you have time to fill in the blank with whatever your private escape is? We all have time. It's what we do with our time that makes the difference, right? We can get up and we can scroll through Facebook. We can read the newspaper. We can look at news online. We can look at TV. We can look at YouTube. Look at our phones. Look at our emails. Oh my God, there are so many ways that we waste time. And I'm in that group too. I have learned, I have put my phone to where I can reach it with a little bit of effort, but I no longer roll over, reach my phone, and start scrolling through my email. That's actually kind of a lousy way to start our day. Why? Here's what happened for me. I didn't even catch it for a while. What do you get in your emails? Well, it's true that we do get emails from friends and family, but I get so many emails from things like Groupon or the New York Times with the latest scare headlines, or here's a sale, you don't want to miss it. You've got 15 minutes to buy this fabulous thing, this fabulous price, on and on and on and on. Most of it is completely unnecessary. And recently with the news headlines, I just realized that I was getting more and more stressed before I got out of bed. I was beginning to feel a sense of defeat. Like, oh my God, this is never going to stop. Okay, breathe. That's a reality, right? But that's a reality that I'm helping to create because I'm participating in it by picking up my phone first thing in the morning and scrolling through those emails or checking the news headlines. Now, news is a big topic these days, and a lot of people are struggling with wanting to be informed versus news overload. You got to find your own happy place there. I have just learned to limit my time around the news right now. That's me. Why? Because I get into more of a fixed mindset, believing that things are just not going very well, and then feeling kind of negative, which means I'm more likely to be negative towards myself. Oh my God, you haven't finished this, you haven't done that, you haven't done this. And I completely forget about maybe the 100 other things that I did and get focused on those two things that I didn't do. So if you're resonating with this, then I highly recommend that you perhaps put off your email in the morning. Just don't roll over and look at your phone. Roll over and if you can see outside, look at the clouds, or roll over and kiss your honey. Just do something other than pick up your phone. We really want to focus. Okay, so where I got started with that was reality. Reality. Yes, we all have a certain amount of reality. But like the excuse of I didn't have time to do three things that I know are very doable within a week's time, we create this reality in our head. We've created this idea that time is limited and I don't have enough time to do the things important for me. So if I'm working on myself, if I'm engaged in self-development, I have to spend time working on me, on self-reflection, or maybe doing some journaling exercises, whatever it is that you do or don't do in this case, comes down to what are you telling yourself? What are you telling yourself about your ability to make time? Now, sometimes people will say, yes, but, and they will tell me about their week. And I'll agree, it sounds like a really busy week, and I get it. Sometimes we are just busy managing stuff around us that we really don't have that time. And it feels like we don't have that time. I get it. Here's what you have to discern for yourself. We all have reality. Sometimes our reality does suck. The question is, what do we do with that? This goes back to how we think about it, right? It goes back to your mindset. Let's say you are having a tough time at work. You don't want to be at work. if you go into work focused on, I hate being here, I don't like this, I wish I didn't have to be here, my life sucks because I do have to be here, however you're talking about it to yourself, what you're doing there is you are highlighting for yourself the negative aspects, which means you are going to feel stuck. You're going to feel defeated, maybe a sense of despair, sense of hopelessness, depending on how you really feel about what's going on. Now, can we change that piece of it? No. If you can change it, I hope you will. But if you can't, we have to figure out how to make the most of what we have. And so you start looking for your opportunities. How can I make this better for myself? Maybe it's as easy, and it's never easy, but maybe one of the things that you can do is you can bring your favorite tea or coffee from home to work with you. Small thing, granted. And again, it doesn't change the reality that's out here. You know, we all have that reality. But what we're doing is we're changing what we can internally. We're looking for the inward peace to make this better for you. So where's the opportunity? What can I do differently to make myself feel better? Sometimes the things that we can do may be small, but that doesn't mean they're not important. I know once I had a really crappy job, really crappy. I was the person they called on Sunday mornings to complain, to complain that they hadn't gotten their newspaper. So every single call, you know, was going to be a bad call. Somebody was going to be at the other end of the phone screaming at me, yelling about their wet paper, yelling about the paper boy. I mean, I hated that job. And that job started at like, God, I think it started at like 5 or 5:30 on a Sunday morning. Obviously, I was only there one day a week. Well, not obviously. I was only there one day a week. I was only the Sunday morning complaint person. So it wasn't as though I could go in and like spruce up my office, but I did discover that if I took a pillow that I liked, if I took a couple of flowers and set them on the desk in front of me, and if I had a notebook that I could scribble in, and I probably scribbled some bad things, but those things changed because it was like, okay, bring it on. Got my flowers. I'm going to scribble a nasty note about you while you're screaming at me. And at least I have a nice pillow that I can lean back against because, wow, newsrooms, at least back then, they were not very exciting. No, those are small things, but they helped my mindset because it made me feel like I had a little bit of control. So yes, we have realities in our lives that we can't do anything about, but it's in here. This is what we're doing something about, your mindset. So let's talk about some different ways to develop your growth mindset. And the very first one, you may be surprised, is I really want you to embrace your imperfections. We all have imperfections. You have a choice there, right? You can either embrace it or you can constantly beat yourself up. Beating ourselves up achieves nothing. Have you ever beaten yourself up and then got up and said, wow, I feel so much better now that I know what a loser I am? No. When we embrace our imperfections, we are accepting ourselves as, this is who I am. It's not saying I can't be better. It's saying, this is who I am right now. Now, I am a total ADHD person. I seriously, and I think it's getting worse as I get older, I seriously can't walk from one room to another and remember what I'm doing. So this morning, I made myself a second cup of coffee. I went into the bathroom. 5 minutes later, I'm standing there with a curling iron, putting on makeup. And suddenly it occurred to me, didn't I just do something in the other room? Finished my hair and then thought, oh yeah, I need to go work on this article. Oh, Coffee. Where's my coffee? Oh, I made coffee. Total ditz, okay? I have learned to embrace this part of myself. I learned to work around it. It's why I frequently have a second cup of coffee. It acts as my it acts as my Ritalin. But what am I going to do? I could have beat myself up like, oh my God, you were so stupid. I can't believe you forgot. You just made this cup of coffee and now you're in here with your, I didn't do that. I just laughed at myself and thought, well, I guess I'm going to have to microwave this coffee. But it'll be fine. Embrace your imperfections. I'm telling you, it makes life so much easier. Challenges and setbacks. These are opportunities, okay? I know it's hard to keep that in mind. I know that when life throws something at us, it's really easy to go into a why me. But when we go into why me, we're going into fixed mindset. These are things that you really have to learn to listen for. You have to listen for the fixed mindset. That's an opportunity to change over to a growth mindset. Oh my God, you never get these things done on time. Okay, the negative self-talk, fixed mindset. Okay, you're still learning how to get things done on time. That's okay, let's keep moving. You see the difference? And listen, if you hear me say this to you, you're gonna be pissed off because you're gonna feel like, hey, you can't talk that way to me. Why not? You talk that way to you. No, we're changing this. So we're gonna change to adding the word yet. Like with my French, I'm not fluent yet. I stopped saying I'm never gonna learn this because then I just got focused on what I was doing wrong. And when we get focused on what we're doing wrong, we tend to get more stressed. And then we're not doing ourselves any favor. When we switch to yet, it gives us permission to be imperfect and to keep going, to keep trying. I don't know how you're going to feel about this one, but you got to stop seeking approval. No matter who you're seeking it from, if you are seeking somebody else's approval, you need to stop. That is a sign too of fixed mindset because it says other people's opinions of me matter more than my own. Now, there's a difference in asking for feedback. There's a difference in asking for opinions about something that you have produced, something that you're wearing. That's fine. But when we stop, when we don't have our own approval and we're seeking other people's approval, we are telling ourselves over and over again, we're not good enough. So stop that, please. You've probably heard this said differently, but value the process over the end result. It's sort of like enjoy the journey. It's not just about the destination. You know, there's research that shows that planning and anticipating a trip or a vacation is actually more pleasurable than the actual trip. In a lot of cases, not always. But there's something about anticipating and planning and being a part of this process of looking up things that is really enjoyable for people. Apply that to your life. So think about this. If you allow yourself to get in there and enjoy the process, there's no telling what you will give yourself permission to do. So if you have wanted to try painting or writing or any other creative thing, so many people stop themselves because they feel like they're not good enough. It's not about the end result, unless that's your livelihood. It's about the process. And even if it is your livelihood, I hope you're enjoying the process. I mean, I love getting in and doing research. That's a part of the process too for me. All of those things. Enjoying the process. Just allow yourself to enjoy the process of what it is that you're doing. Also, celebrate others' growth. This can be hard for us sometimes because somebody else has an achievement, they get an award, they win a prize, whatever, and a little part of us may go, oh, how come it was her and not me? I wish I could do that. Okay. Fixed. That's a fixed mindset. You've gone to that place with, I'm not good enough. In this case, the other person was better. When we celebrate other people's growth, we're celebrating a growth mindset. We're celebrating this idea that we can all be in this together and we can all achieve great things. And the truth is, when we work together, when we celebrate each other, applaud each other, we do better. When I get a reach out from somebody who says, oh my God, I love that video that you did, and I don't know this person, I feel really good. And I really appreciate the fact that this other person took the time to let me know that. So do that for other people and see how that feels for you to sort of engage in this idea that there's enough for everybody, that we're all out there doing our best and we all need to be given some high fives now and then. If you get criticized about something, the question there becomes, can I learn from this? One time I learned that I didn't want to be friends with that person anymore. Why? This person came after me with criticism that wasn't constructive. It was meant to tear down and make me feel bad. It didn't have an end point. If you get that sort of criticism, you make a choice then about the relationship you have with that person. But if other people are, if you get criticism about other things, the question is this an opportunity for me to learn something? If I could have taken the criticism from that friend constructively, I would have. I take it from people all of the time, trust me. This, there was nothing I could do about it. So that relationship meant I don't need to stick around for this. So do we want to be in a fixed mindset? Do we want to be in a growth mindset? Do we want to find opportunity? Do we want to focus on failure? I want you to also, this is a hard one sometimes for people, just this idea of cultivating grit. You know, sometimes we really do want to give up, and I get it. Becoming an online entrepreneur, I thought was going to be easy peasy. I'm a psychologist. I've had a private practice. I've been very successful. Not going to be a problem doing this online. It was a problem. It was really hard. And it took stuff out of me that I hadn't even experienced in graduate school. I mean, I went through periods where I was just feeling dismal and like a failure and like, oh my God, who was I to think that I could do this? I wanted to give up, but I knew I was not about to give up. So there were days where I let myself have a pity party, but I always got back to it. That's cultivating grit. It's getting back up and doing it even when you don't feel like you want to, even when you don't feel 100%. It's hard. Sometimes life is hard, but what's the alternative? For me, I wasn't going to go back to the States and open up another private practice. Living in France meant too much, so I got back up. I also had a purpose. And the more that you have a purpose to cultivate your grit with, the more it works. Because I knew that I am meant to reach a lot of people. I can't reach a lot of people if I'm not reaching out. And so cultivating that grit and pushing myself to keep going, even when I was feeling like this might be impossible. Okay, it's not impossible. You just haven't learned it all yet. That yet is really powerful. One thing that you can do too is, you know, we talk about taking risk. Take risk in the company of supportive others. Maybe you want to sing. Maybe you really want to sing, but you're so afraid that your voice isn't good enough. Take some friends of yours and go to karaoke. Or just ask them to sit in the living room while you sing a song for them. Take risk in the company of supportive others who will support your process, support you on your journey. And really, I want you to think about taking ownership. Sometimes we don't take ownership of our own attitude. We want to blame others. It's their fault. It's this fault. It's blah, blah. take ownership, okay? You have that choice between falling into a fixed mindset, there's never enough, I need the approval of others, there's not enough time, I'm not good enough, or moving towards a growth mindset. So decide what you want out of this and work towards that. Now, I know there's a lot of information in here, and if you need help with any part of it, then put that in the comments below. Just let me know what your question is. If you wanna hop on Skype, we can certainly do that too. Happy to help you out with any part of this. I know that sometimes when we're trying to do these things, we start beating ourselves up because we just slip back into a fixed mindset. And that's okay. You haven't learned yet. So if you have any questions, you want to talk further about any of this, then let's get on the phone or let's just talk in the chat box, whatever we do. All right. I will be seeing you soon. I'm enjoying my journey.